Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, December the 21st, 2014.
Well, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we begin the service tonight and sing a couple of songs. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we'll conclude with A Little Town of Bethlehem.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to
seated, and Mike McDonald's going to come and share with us in song at this time.
In John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." The uniqueness of his birth is that he did not originate at his birth. The personhood, the character, the personality of Jesus of Nazareth existed before the man Jesus of Nazareth was born. The theological word to describe this mystery is not creation, but incarnation. The mystery of the birth of Jesus is not merely that he was born of a virgin. That miracle was intended by God to witness to an even greater one, namely, that the child born at Christmas was a person who existed from of old, from ancient days.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you were. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes were blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who you were. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago. Sweet little holy child, and we didn't know who you were.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that tonight. As Pastor said, we're going to take the offering toward the end of the service. So just a couple more songs tonight as we prepare our hearts for what Ted has for us tonight. Let's start with the birthday of the King, and then we'll finish with the precious Lamb of Glory. Okay, thank you, Fred. Don't you just wish we could start Christmas in October? Because that is, you know, these are great songs, and we just don't sing them near enough. Well, I guess it's been probably, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, Ted was back in town and when for a meeting, missions meeting down in Atlanta, and actually came this way. And whenever he gets close and everything, we generally have a gourmet breakfast at Crystal. And we had a great time of chatting, and I told him, well, if he's coming back, and I said, you do desperately need to bring those grandchildren back to see Grandma, we'll find a way for you to come up and swing the bat. And so that's what he's going to do. So Ted's going to come, open the Word, going to tell us a little bit about what he's done, and maybe just kind of give him a thumbnail sketch regarding your history and some of the things that you did here. And let me just say that we'd all love to hear from your wife, but that's all in your hands.
Thanks, Doc. Well, the door is open. You want to come up? No. All right. Before I start, if you don't mind, let me open in prayer just to calm myself. Father God, thank you for this church, for the many friends seated here, for how you've used the church all across the globe to see your kingdom come, your will be done. And just thank you for this time tonight, for the opportunity just to share what you're doing in our lives and hearts and what you're teaching me. So just speak through me and speak. May people move past my stuttering words and really hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you for the opportunity to share. I guess it was about 14 years ago, I joined the church, and I was able to get involved with the youth group quite early on, and Fred allowed me to make some noise with my saxophone on the stage a couple times, just for a few times, I think. It was noisy, but it was good. It's the place where I met Kathleen, and I made a lot of friendships. And as I look across the audience, I see a lot of familiar friends who have poured time into our lives. And not only is it a place where I met Kathleen and where we married, but it's also the place where Doc encouraged me to take my first mission trip in 2001. And looking back, that was really an integral part of my spiritual journey. And it launched me on a path that God continues to use me on and allows me to see Him and experience Him. So before I go much further, when I think about grace, I think about this verse in Philemon, right? I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. And as someone who was sent out by the church, who was prayed over by the church, who was supported by the church, I can say all confidence that I am grateful for this church. And I know there are millions, not millions, there are many other missionaries who echo these same words, that you guys love God, you love missions, and you love your people. So thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my wife Kathleen grew up in this church. And it's through the church, well, I talked about in 2001. So really quick, we spent 2004 and 2006 in Asia. I don't know if this is being podcast or what the rules are, so I'll say Asia. But working in Asia, we got to work with some of the best missionaries that were sent out by this church. And we still look at them as people we love, as people we learn from. And it was a great couple years. And I didn't know when we came back what we would do. We spent 2 years here, back at the church again, back in Rodney was Sunday school class. I think we were working through Romans when we left. After we came back, we finished up. So that was a great experience for us. And in 2008, I was offered a job with Avant Ministries, overseeing their public relations and media. And we'll talk more about that later, but that's in Kansas City, Missouri, which is our home. And my work connects with a lot of churches all across the nation. I travel, and I'm over the public ministry, so I oversee a lot of our North American strategy, connecting with churches and donors and missionaries. And I will tell you that there aren't many churches like Grace. There aren't many churches where missionaries are out of the pews and sent all across the nation. And as I look, I see Dale, I saw lots of people this morning who I sat next to in the pew who are now missionaries overseas. So I just want to say thank you. I'm grateful for you all. Tonight I have the opportunity to share a little bit about what our ministry is, and then I'll hope to dive into a little bit about what God's been teaching me. So my goals for this evening, I have two. I want to encourage you in sharing your faith, to encourage you. And the second one is to highlight a few glocal opportunities. Did I just throw a new word out here? Everybody know what glocal is? Yeah, you're with me? So glocalization is the idea. We'll break it down. And if this is the first word I throw out today that isn't real, it might not be the last either. Just bear with me. So it's a derivative idea of glocalization, right? It's conducting business by global and local conditions. And when I think about the state of the world, I think glocal is the way we have to look at the world. There are things happening globally that affect us locally. And I think we can all see that our neighbors are changing, our neighborhoods are changing, and it's good. But before we dive in the message, I do have to brag about my family. This photo is probably a little over a year old. This is taken in Kansas City. Many of you will recognize Kathleen. And our oldest, Maggie, is 8, and Lucas is 6. They're our Tennessee kids. So they were born here in Chattanooga. Molly's one of my arms. She's 2 now, and she was born in Kansas, where Dorothy's from. And because of my great Photoshop skills, I seamlessly blended Luke Zeke into there, and he looks just like he's one of the family members, because he is. And he is 5 months old this week. So to talk a little bit about where we live in Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas, Missouri. There's a big difference. And much like there are Tennessee and Georgia battles, there are Missouri and Kansas battles for college football, and we enjoy that. Barbecue. There are probably 5 or 6 restaurants in Kansas City vying for the best Kansas City barbecue. As you see the book, it's not just for breakfast anymore. You can have breakfast, you can have barbecue at dinner now. So they like that. And last but not least, we are the home of the Royals. All right? We made it to the World Series. While we didn't win, if you live in Kansas City, you have to be a Royals fan. So the reason we're in Kansas City is because we're members of Avant Ministries. It's a 122-year-old missionary sending organization that was birthed out of the YMCA movement in 1892. Actually, they were birthed in 1890. Their general director was George Fisher. He was a director of YMCA, but he became too evangelical. They sent their first 2 teams of missionaries to Sierra Leone in 1890. The first group of 12 went. Within a month, they all died. So a month later, they sent another 12 to Sierra Leone, West Africa. In 1892, they incorporated as Gospel Missionary Union, and in 1896, they were the first Western evangelical missionary to enter the country of Ecuador, where we just celebrated 2 years ago the establishment of over 300 churches among 3 different people groups in Ecuador. So the most famous incident in Ecuador, of course, is one of the most tragic as well, and that's the 5 martyr missionaries in Ecuador in 1956. And one of those missionaries, Roger Darien, was a missionary with Avant Ministries. His son lives in Florida. His wife is still alive. So it's our privilege to be part of that mission. We have Avant Ministries is about 300 missionaries in over 30 different countries. We're inside the 1040 window. We're outside. My job is I get to support our missionaries from the home office and help them connect here in America. So my background in public relations, communications, and marketing comes into play, and it's really a lot of fun when you think about every day I show up to tell stories of God at work and to serve those who serve Him. So it's a real privilege to be there. So I'm going to transition real quick and talk a little bit about what I want to talk about tonight, which is sharing our faith. You know, the things we love are the things that we love to share with people. Right? If it's a good restaurant, if you have a good restaurant experience, you want to bring your spouse, your significant other, or your girlfriend or boy. You want to experience that. You want to share that, the thing that you love, with the people that you love. Right? So if you let me unpack it a little bit, each week in Kansas City, I get invited to a Vols watching party. Right? So even though I'm not in Tennessee, I can still watch the Vols with Vols fans every week because the Vols Nation reaches Kansas City. But to make it even better, and Doc, you're going to smile at this one. Today was the Battle of the Bays, Green Bay and Tampa Bay. And when you live in Kansas City, my kids love the Chiefs because everybody talks about the Chiefs. So I have to remind them always, we are not Chiefs fans, we are Buccaneer fans. And it's so bad that I'm a Buccaneer fan. I saw a guy at my church a couple weeks ago wearing a Cadillac Williams jersey, and I knew I had something in common with him. I knew we were both Buccaneer fans, so I stopped him to talk about the Bucs because we both love the Buccaneers. So the things that we love to talk about, right? Whether it's football, whether it's a great restaurant, but I think there's even something greater that we like to talk about, and that is we like to talk about Jesus, right? I mean, we love Jesus, and I imagine this room that we all love Jesus, and we all love what he does in our lives. And this could be confessional, but if it is, bear with me, and it probably is. I don't know what it is. I love Jesus, but I sometimes have a hard time talking about him, right? Because I'm afraid if I do it wrong, maybe the person won't believe. Or maybe I'm afraid of what they'll think about me. Or maybe I'm just afraid that maybe I'm really not that good of an example of what a Christ follower should be. I don't think I'm alone, right? I was here a few months ago because I was at a conference, and it was really interesting. There were probably 200 people in this room to learn about how to share their faith with people from other cultures. 200 people in a room to hear a guy talk about it. As I sat there, it was really encouraging to hear it. And while the guy was speaking, I kind of got sad. Because I thought, we have the greatest gift ever given. And we celebrate this time of year. The greatest gift ever given was that God sent down his son. And that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. Right? It's the greatest gift ever given. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest story ever told. But we've made it very complex at times. I mean, there was a whole hour and a half workshop strategy about how to tell people about Jesus. And I thought, is it really that hard? Is it really that hard to tell people about Jesus? And then I thought of this verse in Mark. Mark 12, 20 through 31. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment given greater than these. So it's really three ideas, right? God is one. Love God, love people. So if we talk about the things we love, which we do, I do, I would talk more about Jesus because I love him. But I'm not quite sure if it solves my problem, right? But I think the Bible demonstrates the answer to this problem that I have and that I'm not alone with. And this is Mark. We're going to jump to a familiar passage in Matthew. Sorry, that should have gone up earlier. Clicker. But if the idea of sharing my faith is as simple as loving God and loving others, then why do I struggle so much at it? Am I the only one that struggles at sharing my faith? Maybe I am. But so let's talk about the answer. The answer is in Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And we had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And we have found him. Bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. It's a familiar story. It's one we've all read. Sorry. So I think in the gospel, in this, we see the answer to the problem, right, of when we share Jesus. We have two primary sets of characters in the story. We have Herod, and we have the wise men, the magi, the astrologers. You know, and when it boils down to, did Herod believe Jesus? Did he worship Jesus? Was that ever his desire? No. Did the wise men? Yes. So even at the birth of Jesus, we see that some believe and some don't. So if we talk about Herod, and we'll dive into it, but for the time we won't. At this point in his life, Herod had actually become king through, he was a great military strategist, and he was not of noble descent, but he aligned himself well, and he was king. And at this point in his life, he was older. He was allowed to name his successor, but he was so consumed with paranoia and emotional and physical deterioration that he actually executed three of his own sons because he was afraid they would take the throne. And then the people were out against him. He burned alive. So we know what happened to the children at this point. Herod sent them out to be killed under the age of two, and you know, Jesus and Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt. But the point is, I think that when we look at Jesus' demand and response, that we want to share our faith and want people to believe because it's something we love. It's something we believe in. And we forget the fact that Jesus has divided history and people since he came, that some will believe and others won't. So my question was, am I off base with this? And I thought of, in Luke, the parable that this is Luke 13, 23 through 30. This one said to him, "Lord, there are few who are saved." And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you. Where are you from?' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and west, from the north and south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are the last who will be first, and the first who will be last." Not everyone will believe. The Bible tells us this. But my issue is, my hesitancy to introduce people to Jesus is because I don't want them to say no, I think, at times. And I think when they say no, it's a reflection of me and my presentation and not necessarily what God's doing in their hearts and lives or what God's doing, because not everyone will believe. So if I were to switch, we all know that the only people who will be saved are those who believe in Jesus, but not everyone will. But it doesn't free us up from our obligation to tell people about Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. So I have a confession to make, and if you'll bear with me on this, I'm going to take a little bit of liberties, not that I haven't already, but I'm going to take a few more. I'm going to group myself with a religious leader, right? I work day in, day out at a faith-based organization, and I think we've made it very complex of sharing our faith with methodologies and strategies. Instead, we forgot about the beauty of the true message of the gospel, that God sent his son to die on the cross for your and my sins, and that some will believe and others won't. But our job is still to introduce people to Jesus. And I need to go away from worrying about what other people think about where I share or how I share it and really focus on what God's done in my heart and life. So I think the message is simple. We love God and we love others. But what does that look like in terms of I don't do away with my biblical literacy. I don't do away with my ability to tell my own story of what God's done in my life. I don't do away with spending time with God because that's part of it. I must be outgoing. I must engage in conversation with others and make friends who don't know Jesus with the opportunity to tell them. And I must trust in the working of the Holy Spirit in God to do what he's accomplished. So as I've been studying this, I ask myself, do I really pray for opportunities to share my faith? Do I really pray for my neighbors? Do I really pray for the working of the Spirit? And am I really ready to give an answer to what God's done in my heart and life? So, now I'm going to dive into glocal, because I think the question isn't, do we know we need to share our faith? And does God have a big plan? But remember the word that we talked about, glocal, the whole globalization, the local focus? What if we were to draw, okay, so here it is. So if there's 7 billion people in the world, which statistics tell us that, there are 4.7 billion that don't believe in Jesus. So that's more than half. But you'll say, well, Ted, you just said that some will believe and some won't. Well, that's true. We know that. But of the 4.7 billion, 2.9 billion haven't even heard the name of Jesus yet. They haven't had the opportunity to accept or reject the greatest gift ever given. 2.9 billion people are unreached in the world. Recent statistics just said that the United States is the largest receiving country for international migrants. So I know that Grace is a globally focused missions church. But what if, with migrants moving to the U.S., what does it look like for Grace? Well, what if we could draw a radius around the church, right? What if we could? We're going to skip over that. So there's Grace. Bear with me here, right? It shows up to school, but that's Grace. So if we were able to draw a 1.5-mile radius on Grace, who would be in that radius? Let's see, those are your Southeast Asians. Those are, wow, I can't read that. Middle Easterners. Yeah. So these are people of Southeast Asia, Middle Eastern, Persian, Far Eastern, and Indian descent. What it looks like in 1.5-mile radius, you have 61 Hindus, 47 Buddhists, almost 30 Islamics, 6 Shintos, and 4 Sikhs. I don't know how to say that word. Let's grow out a little larger. Oh, I lost the slide somewhere. If we were to boil it down to a 5-mile radius, there would be 660 people in this category, and the numbers would parallel the same. So I'm probably going to end early tonight, but I just want to encourage you that the greatest gift ever given is still the greatest story that needs to be told to 2.9 billion people. And some of these people are our neighbors, and they live within a 5-mile radius of you. And I can't believe I lost the slide here, but that's okay. As I look across, many of you know Jesus. But the question is, who in your circle doesn't? And what are you going to do about them? So I'm going to end it here, Doc, and turn it over to you, if that's okay. All right.
Okay, thank you, Ted. I think that we're all constantly amazed at how many people from just different areas we have a chance to bump into. We see this all the time when people call the school and are interested in being involved with the school ministry, but we see it also when we're buying gas and we're doing this and doing that and having a chance to meet people. And so I think it's a good reminder to think about the ministry and the opportunities and all the things that that God wants us to be involved in terms of communicating His word to people. Well, thank you, Ted. I think you were 4 years with Todd and they actually took a really interesting trip one time where they went to Tibet, and my daughter went along with them on that trip, and it was kind of an opportunity to see that field and to see what could or could not be done in terms of expanding ministry in those areas. And so that's pretty exciting. We'll ask the men to come at this time and encourage you to give a good offering. We thank the Lord for His Word tonight. And I think we've got a special offertory tonight. So, Father in heaven, we thank You for Ted and Kathleen and the work to which You've called them. And we pray that You'll continue to bless them and their family, and that You'll use this Word in our hearts and lives to think seriously about the opportunities that are all around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.